Good morning. Welcome to the House Special Committee on Energy. It's 10:19 a.m. on March 1st. And present members are today Representative Johnson, Representative Lincoln, Representative Rauscher, myself, Chair Wool, and we have a quorum to do business. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 374 on bill financing for energy improvements. Is our only item of business. We have invited testimony and public testimony as well. So can I have a motion to bring the CS before the committee? I'd like to recognize Representative Johnston this year. Representative Rauscher.
I move to bring the CS for HB 374-30-LS space 133-3/U before the committee for discussion as our working draft.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Hearing no objection, House Bill 374, version U, is before the committee for discussion. I'd like to invite my staff, Rob Earl, to come forward and present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff representative Wool. Members in their packets should find the version U, the CS we just adopted, sponsor statement, sectional analysis, zero fiscal net, and a short one-page summary of on-bill financing from the Department of Energy. HB 374 would allow a utility to voluntarily create an on-bill financing or on-bill repayment program to help customers finance energy improvements. The improvement must utilize a renewable energy device or include switching to a more efficient fuel device that doesn't increase greenhouse gas emissions. The on-bill financing program allows a utility customer to borrow money for an energy improvement and then repay it through a metered conservation charge on the utility bill. Often the customer's utility bill will immediately be lower, even with the metered conservation charge, due to savings from the energy efficiency improvement. HB 374 will be particularly useful for the Interior Energy Project, as it expands its reach and Fairbanks residents choose to convert from oil to natural gas to heat their homes. Those conversions, of course, can be expensive, so using on-bill financing and seeing an immediate reduction in their energy costs may be an attractive option to many residents. Examples of energy improvements that would qualify under HB 74: adding solar panels and a small wind turbine to a house, converting to a cleaner-burning wood stove, and converting from oil heat to natural gas. HB 374 allows utilities to create either an on-bill financing or an on-bill repayment program. The difference being, under on-bill financing, the utility provides the capital for the loan to the customer, and under on-bill repayment, a third-party financial institution, it could be a municipality, it could be a bank, would provide the capital. Additional notes about the bill: weatherization projects like upgrading windows or insulation would not qualify under this legislation. And if a utility elects to utilize the program under this legislation, the intent is there would be no cost to utility, that they could recoup all of their costs in a light item on a customer's bill. And also, if the property is sold, the remaining balance on the loan and any other costs could be recouped by the utility. So HB 374 provides an optional tool for utilities and their customers to lower energy costs and increase air quality in Alaska. And it's completely voluntary for the customer and for the utility. So that completes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Are there any questions before we go to invited testimony?
I can wait and do it first. It doesn't matter. I have a couple.
Well, why don't we go to invited testimony? Might help answer that, or maybe give you some more questions. Do you have a question?
Oh, I have a question, yeah.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I... just for the record, so if someone, say, finances something through the energy company and they are then go into default on their home, what happens to that bill?
This is Senator Johnson. I hadn't considered that, to be honest, but if someone ends up losing their house, I think maybe let me think about that for a minute. I could probably answer it after the invited testimony.
First one could answer it
better.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, and I believe it was mentioned that if the house is sold, that the new buyer would have to pay off, would either incur the debt or have to pay it off upon sale of the house. But I don't know about if someone goes into default on a loan. But Representative Rusher.
That you answered my question through the chair. I just wanted to know if somebody sells the house, will the new buyer be on the hook for the loan? And I guess you answered that question as an affirmative.
Yep.
The other one is what form or notice should be given to consumers undertaking the financing, truth and lending, full disclosure, easily understood terms, etc. So has it got to be disclosed to him completely?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, so the utility would have to has to submit notice before when the meter charge goes into effect, and then they have to submit notice when it's taken off. So the intent is if someone buys a house, that's going to be transparent that there is a meter conservation charge on the house. And then if it's a tenant-landlord situation, the landlord would have to notify the tenant. If they didn't, the tenant could recoup. They could recoup up to half the, or they could deduct that charge from the rent for up to half the term of the rental agreement.
That was my next question. About the tenants. All right, I appreciate it very much. The tenant is going to have to help out there, right?
So in order to go into the agreement, the tenant and the landlord and the utility all have to agree. And then if it's a re-rental situation, the landlord has to tell the tenant about it. So it's all meant to be transparent.
Okay.
But the tenant would be paying the conservation charge. I suppose they could work out the landlord and the tenant could work out whatever they wanted, but I think the tenant would usually pay it unless it's a situation where utilities are included with the rental agreement.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Why don't we go to invited testimony? We have on the line from Fairbanks, Jomo Stewart, the general manager of the IGU Interior Gas Utility. Jomo, are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Are you ready to give your testimony?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. You can proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. To the committee, thank you very much. Really, Mr. Earl did a very good job of introducing.
Jomo, can you, for the record, identify yourself and your affiliation?
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jomo Stewart. I'm the general manager of the Interior Gas Utility.
Thank you.
Here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Mr. Earl did a very fine job of introducing both the concept of on-bill repayment and finance as well as the bill. And so I really wouldn't want to belabor it. Really, I would just simply like to say mostly just say thank you for initiating this discussion. Last year, if I may, Mr. Chairman, proceed.
Yeah, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit of background. As I did testify before the committee regarding the interior energy project generally some weeks ago, during the energy crisis here in Fairbanks, Alaska, and yes, but yeah, I know that there in the legislature, it was quite a boon when the oil prices went up. But for many communities, in fact, the great majority of communities around the state of Alaska, those having their residents rely primarily or solely on the oil, it was actually quite devastating. And so during the run-up in oil prices, particularly when they exceeded the $3.50 and turned into the $4 plus range, in Fairbanks, it was estimated that that was pulling upwards of $400 to $600 million per annum extra out of our economy. And, an economy is based on private interactions, both commercial and individual residential, greatly diminishing the ability of a great many people to finance things like a conversion over to another fuel source. Flash forward to today, or rather last year, recognizing that the interior gas utility, though it does have substantial funding to install the major infrastructure to increase gas availability within the community and to have it be affordable to residents, the cost of conversion, it was an outstanding item that needed to be addressed. How are people going to pay to convert their homes over to, and their heating appliances over to use of natural gas? Recognizing that the utility would not be in, or was likely not going to be in a position where it could self-finance assistance for conversions, I asked my conversion specialist and staff to go out and do a survey of options that a utility in a position without large body financial internal resource could still provide to residents as an incentive and possibly a convenience improvement for the conversion. And what they landed on bill repayment. And so we had them work over the course of last year on trying to characterize how on-bill repayment might be offered by the utility as part of an onboarding suite for new customers. What was recognized, though, as we did our legal review, is that the law in the state of Alaska was silent on on-bill financing and on-bill repayment. Now, silence can sometimes be taken as acquiescence. However, it was recommended to us by our counsel that it would be best if, for the utility and other utilities, if that's the law positively permitted and set guidelines for on-bill financing and on-bill repayment. And so I wanted to thank the committee for bringing this bill forward. It is going to be a discussion. There are a lot of participants and a lot of potential actors that will want to weigh in. And there are a lot of issues that we will need to address, and you've already begun to discuss them in your initial questioning of Mr. Earle. So this will be a discussion between both yourselves, potential utilities who would like to offer these kinds of programs, potential lenders who might be financing these kinds of programs. And so there will be quite a bit of discussion and a lot of things to address. But we can get there. I do again want to just simply thank the committee for initiating the discussion that could and probably will lead to utilities in the state of Alaska being able to offer either through themselves under their own financial horsepower or in conjunction with private sector lenders incentives to allow customers to transition over from more expensive fuels to hopefully cleaner and less expensive ones. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Any questions for Mr. Stewart? Seeing none, I guess my only question for you, Jomo, would be that when the IGU did surveys and asked around the community who would be interested in conversion, you came back with certain results. Did the concept of on-bill financing, did that work into your questions, or was it simply people paying their own money to flip over from oil to gas?
I do believe, sir, that it was lightly discussed. I believe that most of the focus was, or most of the assumption was that customers would be self-financing. And therefore, much of the discussion revolved around how really cash assistance might be accrued, not unlike the what we have here in the community right now. A Woodstove Changeout program that does offer cash assistance to assist in the conversion from older, more polluting wood stoves to cleaner, more efficient solid fuel devices.
Okay. We have a couple questions now. Representative Johnston.
Yes, thank you through the chair. I was going back in memory and thinking of House Bill 80. Do we know how does this mesh with House Bill 80, and do they complement each other, or are they standalones?
I can take a stab at that if Jomo doesn't want to. But House Bill 80 was the PACE bill, and those that were here last year remember that. And that was a basically for commercial properties and didn't apply to individually owned properties. So it stayed with the building. So if you sold the building, the new owner would then take possession of that loan for the improvement. this is different than that in that it's residential primarily, and this is sort of a pace bill for residential, and then it doesn't stay with the deed when you sell the property, but it gets cashed out upon sale, and the loan can be facilitated through the utility, where the other one is through a municipality. That's essentially the difference. I don't know if Gemma wants to add to that, but we have another question from... Oh, go ahead.
Only respectfully through the chair that I would believe that they complement.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, I... when you're going to sell the house, I guess this is sitting on it. Has to be paid. So is this a first or a second when you go to refinance? And has this all been worked out through the financial institutes? Has it been vetted, at least, through them to get a good understanding on how they're going to reciprocate with this ideology?
Representative Rush, I'm you know, and I haven't talked to the financial institutions about this, but I doubt it's not a first. If you borrow money to buy a house and then you borrow money to upgrade your furnace, the bank gets paid first, not the people that loan you money for the furnace.
So does the utility get paid first here?
My answer to that would be no, but again, Rob Earl, I don't know if you've talked with financial institutions, the house lending institutions. We've mostly been talking utilities, but the house gets paid first. I can fairly, with pretty high confidence, say that. If you want it 100% sure, I'm sure we can get that for you.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to recognize Representative Klayman joined us. We have another invited testimony online and one in the room, so I will go to the online person right now. Louie Flora from the Alaska Center in Homer. Louie, are you there? Louie, can you hear us? Okay, we'll go to our in-room testifier. We have Corey Borgeson from Golden Valley Electric here.
Thank you, Chairman Wall. Mm-hmm. I'm Corey Borgeson, President and CEO of Golden Valley Electric Association in Fairbanks, Alaska. We serve power to 44,000 meters and have about 34,000 members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to give some brief testimony regarding this bill. And having heard some of the questions already, maybe I'll change a little bit of what I have to say. From Golden Valley standpoint, the fact that this is a voluntary opportunity for a utility to do this is very much appreciated. We think that's an important part of this legislation that allows us to support it. We noticed that there's a fixed interest, which probably is acceptable because the financing shouldn't go on too long because of some of the issues that might be in play. One of the aspects of this bill that we find is really important is that you've recognized the difficulty of a shutoff for non-payment of a bill, and this bill allows us to shut off a member's power if they've failed to pay the on-bill financing as well, and takes that out of that questionable fact. That would have been something that would have been up to the Regulatory Commission and has caused the utilities to think twice about any type of online bill financing. We are a regulated utility, economically regulated by the RCA, and any type of opportunity like this or putting this on a bill would be subject to their approval. So they would also have oversight in looking at our program to make sure that is fiscally responsible and viable, or they could deny it, even though the law permits it. So anyway, the other thing is it seems like you have a pretty broad definition of eligible equipment. I hearken back to the days when Golden Valley was selling refrigerators and other appliances. I know the idea here is more you'd like us to maybe finance something like solar panels and renewable energy issues, whether it's even wind turbines. And I wouldn't take that out of the realm of being something that, that the bill permits that we could do. But I think you'll find, and what we find from our members who have the hardest time paying their bills, I kind of call it a poor tax because they have to use inefficient heaters. They've got old refrigerators that use a lot of energy. So then they're paying more late fees, more reconnect fees. And we'd like any way possible to make it so that their electric bills are less and that they use less electricity so that they can meet their obligations to pay for their electric power. So to the extent that we can utilize this opportunity here for a broad spectrum of energy efficiency issues, we would welcome that. You know, I've heard the questions about, well, what happens if someone fails to pay, someone sells the house, there's a foreclosure. And I think any utility would have to recognize that there's an element of risk in doing a program like this and would have to be factored in. So that kind of brings me to the issue in the bill about the cap on the interest rate. And it is 2% above prime. Might inhibit or lessen the ability to use this. Even today, when someone comes in for power, we do a credit evaluation of them to determine how much of a deposit they have to make. So I would assume the voluntary nature of this bill, if we're going to loan someone money on bill financing and we're particularly limited to an interest rate, that interest rate is going to have to meet their credit worthiness. So I think it all works. We appreciate the effort. We provide service in Fairbanks and North Pole where we have a very serious environmental issues going on. The ability to use less power, to have cleaner, more efficient opportunities in Fairbanks is very important to us at Golden Valley. And to the extent that we can utilize something like this, we'd be glad to have this tool in the toolkit.
Thank you. Thank you, Corey, for testifying. And I was just reminded that the CS that you have, that we have in front of us removes the 2%.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll alleviate some of your concern.
Oh, really?
You're not locked in at this point. Do we have any questions from the committee for Corey? Seeing none, I guess, Representative Johnson.
I just was thinking how to answer. Ask it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my only concern, and I generally, you know, more to bill, but is if I'm just envisioning someone having some system put in and then not being able to pay for it and having their utilities cut off, and then that becomes something that is hard to get back out from under, I guess.
I understand that issue, and you know, we do as at Golden Valley have procedures in place for people that can't pay their bills, for workouts, for payment plans for over a year, and I would suspect that also would apply to these. But ultimately, if somebody can't pay this bill and they've gone out and they put on solar panels or they've bought an energy efficient refrigerator that reduces their consumption and their electric bill, if they don't pay this bill, it's going to put a bigger burden on them. I think that the way that the utilities are, we're also at risk. So I think that the ability to use this tool is got to go in with good practices and making sure people are going to be able to pay their bills, and that takes a credit evaluation. And just like you do when you go in to finance furniture at one of the furniture stores. So it is a risk, and I understand the concern. And I suspect it also be part of a concern of a regulatory commission as they take a look at it as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Yes, thank you through the chair. Do you see any problem with this when we come to renewable energy sources and with utilities? I mean, would RCA have a problem as far as regulating your peak energy and how it works with renewables?
Through the chair. You know, the reduction, the demand side management is something that we're very interested in trying to work, because if we can reduce our peaks, and as we set rates, we look at the three coincident peaks on a day to assign how much cost everyone should pay. We would like to see the residential costs reduced, and to do that, have less, more efficient equipment would help with that. So let me see if I can answer your question then. So the Regulatory Commission is going to look at what on-bill financing does to reduce the consumer peak loads, which, by the way, happen in the morning when everyone gets up and turns on their blow dryer or whatever we turn on, and at night when we come home and turn on our ovens and our TVs and computers. And if we can level that out by having more efficient appliances, equipment, then the costs will go down. And I think the Regulatory Commission will recognize that and let that follow. I've tried to give you a little bit of rate design information and a little bit how it might interact with the ability to allow our members on-bill financing to reduce their energy consumption. But I think it works and it fits and it plays together.
Follow up. I remember in Fairbanks when GVA incentivized everybody going electrical. Would you see this as an opportunity to not go back into selling refrigerators, but would you be using it as a marketing to do just what you're suggesting, which is getting more energy efficiency?
Golden Valley, since the early 1990s, has been heavily committed to energy efficiency programs. And even this year in our budget, we have about $500,000 where we have programs or educational, there are energy audits that we pay for. We've probably provided so many CFL and now energy efficient light bulbs, and even the businesses we've had programs have done this. We are always trying to reduce the consumption so that we can build less generation and have lower costs for everybody. So I think the ability to go out and say, look, we can help you with a better energy efficient refrigerator, put on solar panels, better efficient heaters, whatever they might be, is something that we would always strive to do. So I don't think we're going to try to increase consumption of electricity. We want prudent, responsible use of electricity, and we're solidly behind that.
One more follow-up, and I haven't read this as carefully as I should, but would this include storage?
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
A very broad definition here, and I would say, and that I hadn't thought about that either, Representative Johnson, and I think that's a very exciting opportunity because that's where the future lies, in being able to take power when it's cheap and store it and use it later to take off those peaks. So I don't see any reason why this couldn't be used to put in the Tesla battery on the wall. Which one of my board members has ordered, by the way. I don't know if he's got a delivery date yet, but
like everything, it takes a while.
It takes a while. But yes, I sure think it could be.
Well, and that would also fit into your discussion about peak use.
Yes.
And if someone had stored some electricity and turns on their other appliances, they could use some of their storage. So I think towards the concept of energy conservation and efficient use, both at the power plant level and at the home level, I think that's the goal here. So no more questions. Thank you, Corey.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yep. We still have Louis Flora online for testimony. Louis, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Oh, great. Sorry, I was muted before. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. My name is Louis Flora. And I work for the Alaska Center, and we're a statewide nonprofit based out of Anchorage, working to promote clean energy, salmon protection, and civic engagement policies and projects in Alaska. And we support the CS for House Bill 347. And I'd like to thank everyone, committee, and you, the sponsor, and your staff, Rob, for your work on the bill. And we have The Alaska Center supports on-bill financing as a policy tool to help Alaska reach its aspirational energy policy goals, and those were established in 2010 under House Bill 306, and they called for a state to achieve a 50% renewable, or for us to receive renewable energy electricity 50% by 2025, and a 15% increase per capita in energy efficiency between 2010 and 2020. And so we see this bill as a good tool to move us towards those goals. And that right now they're aspirational, but we see the potential for mandatory statewide energy efficiency and renewable energy targets under a energy efficiency resource standard or a renewable portfolio standard as something that could be under discussion for Alaska in the next few years. And I, that, you know, would depend on what the legislature chooses to do, of course, but it's something we would hope for as an organization to have discussion on. But that's the segue. The reason we support on-bill financing, though, we think rooftop solar and thermal heat pumps are two areas of particular promise, two technologies that could be moved forward. In Juneau, there's about 200 air source heat pumps that have been installed in residences around town in the last 3 years. The IGA Foodland downtown has used this technology. And so that would be, you know, it could be used on-bill financing to change your thermal load from electricity, if you're on electricity, for thermal to air source heat pump, and that would definitely save a lot of money for consumers. Studies have shown in northern Alaska, as far as Ambler and Deering, that air source heat pumps have been effectively deployed, and so I think there's definitely a potential for that to be utilized under on-bill financing program. And then a good success story is in Maine, where over 20,000 thermal heat pumps have been deployed in the last few years. And so there's definitely a growing momentum for that. Specifically, though, in Anchorage, where my organization's working, we're working in partnership with the group Launch Alaska, Alaska Center for Energy and Power, the NAACP, and other groups to facilitate a bulk purchase and installation of residential solar panels. And we're starting with the Airport Heights neighborhood, and it's under the banner of the Solarize Anchorage campaign. And we believe that on-bill financing, specifically for rooftop solar, could help homeowners who would wish to invest but might not have the might not be at the income level where they can pay for more than their mortgage and other payments, and so that would preclude their upfront investment in renewables. So we think with the on-bill financing mechanism, this definitely gives those homeowners the ability to participate in the program we're moving forward with. And obviously, the effectiveness of the on-bill financing mechanism relies on the willingness and ability of the electric or gas utility to adopt the program on behalf of the ratepayers. I think that the having a voluntary nature of this legislation that will help the utilities come up with a program that works for them and the ratepayers, so that that works. And there's a wealth of experience in the lower 48 with the on-bill financing programs. They've been in effect for over 30 years in different states. My research shows that currently over 100 co-ops in 26 different states offer some form of on-bill financing. And then I pulled some material from a July 2016 edition of Rural Electric Magazine, and I'll submit that as part of my testimony, where they conducted an analysis of on-bill financing programs throughout the U.S. and derived some common themes for the success of the program. And I'll read them here. There's nine different characteristics. And number one is that they should be member-friendly. Application processes must not be any more complicated or lengthy for those of other types of consumer loans. The program should also allow for online processing of applications, audits, bids, and program tracking. Number two, efficient. Administration of the on-bill financing program must be streamlined and cost-effective. 3, attractive terms. Not surprisingly, low interest rates and long repayment terms in the range of 10 to 15 years contribute strongly to a program's success. 4, quality products and contractors. High standards for both products and installers used for the efficiency program will pay off in high member satisfaction. 5, flexibility. The program's success will also depend on how well it matches the unique needs and capabilities of the co-op offering it. Some co-ops will prefer to play a limited role as the public face of the program, while others choose to handle every task in-house. 6, inclusive. Many co-ops will strive to accept applicants who do not have good credit histories. In such cases, the co-op should consider setting up a loan loss reserve or be willing to accept a higher default rate. 7, compliance. The programs must follow federal and state laws and regulations on consumer lending. 8, broad coverage. Different types of energy efficiency and renewable energy measures should be eligible for participation in the on-bill financing program. And 9, scalable. Co-op staff time should be adjusted as needed to avoid limiting participation in a financing program. Those are just some broad takeaways from Lower 48 experience, but as we move forward with the discussion, I'm sure we'll utilize different ones as we did for the Alaska program. And then I just wanted to conclude, we believe that House Bill 347 version U is a good starting point for a discussion of on-bill financing in Alaska, and we support the effort. Draft version U appears to address a number of utility concerns up front. The only suggestion we would offer at this point would be for the committee to consider that the term administrative cost on page 2, line 1, and page 5, line 26 contains some ambiguity, which makes a potential for increased charges for the ratepayer without determining what those charges are for. So putting, it may be that the administrative cost is defined elsewhere in statute, but I just wanted to flag that. It seems overly broad. And thank you for the opportunity to comment, and thank you for your work on House Bill 347.
Thank you, Mr. Floor. It's 374, just to be clear, but thank you for your testimony. are there any questions for Mr. Floor? Seeing none, thank you again for your testimony. We do have Katie Conway and Neil McMahon online from the Alaska Energy Authority to answer questions as well. Seeing none, I think we will conclude this meeting, and we'll set this bill aside and come back to it. I'd like to thank those that came in and testified, and Jomo Stewart as well. I think, in particular, this bill does complement the PACE bill that was passed and allows people that own private residences to get financing that will hopefully lower the utility bill. So the repayment for the device should actually not affect their bill too much and may actually save the money. So with that said, we will adjourn today's meeting. It's 10:56.